Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, why are there wars in the world? Why is there constant tension in places like the Middle East or even Africa? Why are there so many bombs and missiles and grenade attacks in Palestine and Israel and Iraq? Why are there and have been wars and rumors of wars all over the world without end? Why is there constant unhappiness and discord among people? Why are there so many divorces? Why is there so much fighting in families? Why is there so much disunity and fighting among Christians and even in the Church of God? There is one answer and only one answer. That answer is sin. Sin is the reason for the discord, the wars, the conflict, the disunity, and the fights among men. Man is sinful, people are sinful, and that is why the world in which we live is filled with fighting and strife. All our troubles in this life come from the lust and greed and selfishness and self-centeredness of man and all the other evils that lie in man's heart. And we can organize conference after conference after conference, or organization after organization after organization, or program after program after program to produce peace, but they all fail. And they all fail because they cannot change the heart of man. Until we can change the heart of man, which the Bible says is desperately wicked, that is so wicked as to be at a point of desperation in which nothing can help, we will never solve the problem of strife. Working at the surface or working on the appearance of things will not cause any fundamental change. You must go to the source, which is the heart of man. That is where the essential trouble is. Nothing but a new heart will bring peace among men. For evil thoughts and murders and adultery and fornication and jealousy and envy and malice and every evil thing comes out of a man's heart. And as long as a person has a wicked heart, he cannot be at peace with God. He cannot be at peace with other people. And he cannot be at peace even with himself. Humanism does not face this reality. Humanism thinks that peace among men can come through all sorts of human efforts and endeavors. But we learn in the Sermon on the Mount and also in the Beatitude in Matthew 5, verse 9, that humanism does not work. You cannot get rid of war. You cannot get rid of fights and quarrels by outlawing it. Education will not change people's hearts so that they will have peace. People have tried. Many people have tried. People are still trying. They're desperately trying. And it does not work. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the ruler who brings peace on earth. Indeed, Jesus Christ came to this world as a human being to bring peace among men. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 tell us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a baby in the town of Bethlehem, in the land of Palestine, that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising the Lord God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." When God sovereignly changes you by the mighty power of His Holy Spirit, applying the work of Jesus Christ who sacrificed Himself on the cross to you, you will have peace. And you will never find peace or happiness until then. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, that Jesus Christ Himself is our peace. And that means that if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no peace. Jesus Christ has abolished in His flesh the enmity or the hatred in man. Jesus Christ has reconciled sinners to God through His own death and the sacrifice of Himself on the cross. Jesus Christ has reconciled us to one another, thus making peace among men here on earth. Jesus Christ has put hatred to death. Jesus Christ has come to people and proclaimed and preached peace. Jesus Christ brings peace on earth. Jesus Christ, by the gospel of salvation through faith in Him, is redeeming the world from the terrible misery and ruin that we have brought about by our sins. Even in this past week, we remembered again the sacrifice of those who gave themselves in battle. Veterans Day. Nothing speaks louder to us of the need for peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the Son of God's love. And all of the things that men devise to bring about peace and harmony and unity on earth do not even come close. In fact, they pale in significance compared to that one thing, Jesus Christ Himself, who is our peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who is our peace, says to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." What is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is not a person who tries to avoid trouble at any cost. Jesus Christ is not talking about some kind of natural human disposition. No, a peacemaker is not an appeaser who does not understand God's justice and God's righteousness. For without justice and righteousness, without the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, you cannot have true peace. Merely avoiding a battle does not mean that you have true peace. A peacemaker is not one who simply tries to avoid the fray, but rather a peacemaker is someone who is not quarrelsome and who actively makes peace among sinners. A peacemaker is not content to leave things undisturbed or maintain the status quo. Rather, he desires peace with all of his heart. And he does everything in his power to produce peace and to maintain peace. He knows that all men must be at peace with God. And that means that people need to have a new nature. They need a new heart. They need a pure heart. Only the person who has a pure heart has been delivered from the hatred and envy and jealousy that produce constant fighting, constant war. The heart must be cleansed from all of those evil things before you can possibly be a peacemaker. To be a peacemaker means that you need to have an entirely new view of yourself. Before you can be a peacemaker, you must be delivered from your old self, from your old nature, from self-interest and self-concern and self-centeredness. Before you can be a peacemaker, you must be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must die to yourself. As long as you are thinking about yourself, as long as your objective in life is to promote yourself, as long as you are trying to shield and protect yourself from all that you think is contrary to your goals and your wishes, you cannot be a peacemaker. You cannot be sensitive to your own interests, or touchy or defensive, and be a peacemaker. The peacemaker is one who is not always looking at everything in terms of how it affects him. You see, that's what we all do by nature. We're always thinking about how something affects us. And after all, isn't it me, myself, and I that lives? But a peacemaker is not looking at how things affect him. Our reaction so often is based upon what something means to us. And the moment we think about that, there's war. There's fighting. There's strife. There's disagreement because everyone else is doing the same thing. Everybody looks at something from their own self-centered point of view. Is this fair to me? Is this the right treatment of me? Is this promoting my rights and my goals and my best interest? By nature, we're not servants of others. We're servants of self. We're not seeking the glory of God. We're seeking the glory of self. That's why there is constant strife, fighting, and discord. There are constantly quarrels and misunderstandings and disputes. Because we're always centered on self and how everything affects us as if we were the center of the world. And when you have millions of people acting like that, you have millions of problems. And that's what we see in the world. A peacemaker then has an entirely different view of himself. He has a new view of himself, a view that God has worked in his mind and heart. He sees himself as miserable and wretched and not worth bothering about at all. He sees himself as so wretched, so sinful that he has no rights and no privileges that are of any consequence. He does not deserve anything. He sees himself as spiritually poor, as in need of everything. From the blessing and grace of God, from the abundance of his goodness, he sees the blackness and the unworthiness of his heart. And so he hungers and thirsts after the righteousness that God gives, not after his own advantage. He doesn't push for his rights and his privileges. He doesn't ask, "Where am I in this?" No, he forgets about self. He hates his own self. He doesn't love his life. Those who love their life will lose it. But those who lose their life, Jesus said, shall find it. If you love yourself, if you put yourself in the forefront, if everything in life revolves around you, if you're always concerned about your own self-interest, then you will always have trouble. And a Christian is a man who has come to hate himself, who can say with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" The Christian, in fact, is a person who has two natures. He has the new nature that God has worked in him, but he still has that old nature, the sin that keeps rearing its ugly head. And he hates that old nature. He keeps putting it to death by the power of Jesus Christ, and he keeps turning his mind to have a new view of life and to have a new view of others and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to seek the glory of the Lord in everything, first of all, not the interest of self. The peacemaker is the person who does not talk about people when they are offensive and difficult and contrary. But he knows that the strife and the battles and the wars among people and in the human heart come from the lusts and the sins and the lack of peace that constantly surfaces in mankind. The unbeliever is governed by the god of this world, and so many who name the name of Christ are still too focused on self, too focused on what's in it for them. That's why they're fighting. That's why they're disagreeable. That's why they're stubborn. And so the peacemaker has pity upon those who are at war with themselves and with everyone else. And when you can look at people in that way, when you can look at people with pity and with mercy, then you can be a peacemaker. When you have a completely new view of people, then you can be a peacemaker. You also have to have an entirely new view of the world. Your greatest and ultimate concern always must be the glory of God. The glory of God among men. That was the great concern of Jesus Christ. He wanted his heavenly Father to be glorified. And that's how he lived his life. He didn't live it thinking about what's in it for me. What can I get out of this? Who's honoring me? After all, I'm the Son of God. Now he said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." The Son of Man came not to be served. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve others, and to even give his own life as a ransom for many. The peacemaker is the person whose central concern is the glory of God, and he spends his life trying to serve that glory. He knows that God made man perfect, without sin, and that the world which the Lord made was meant to be paradise. And so when we see all of the disputes and all of the quarrels and all of the fighting and all of the selfishness and all of the self-centeredness that abounds, we see all of that as detracting from the glory of God. Did you ever think about that? And that should be of great concern to every child of God. And so the peacemaker is the man who is ready to humble himself, and he's ready to serve. He's ready to do anything and everything in order that the glory of God may be promoted. And he desires that with all of his heart and mind and soul, so that he is ready to suffer in order that God might be glorified. He's ready to suffer wrong and injustice in order that the peace that God brings may be produced among men. In order that the glory of the living God may be magnified. The peacemaker is done with himself. He's done with his own self-interest. He's done with his own selfishness. What matters to him is the glory of God. What matters to him is that God's glory be spread throughout the world among men. And if God calls him to suffer, that he might be glorified, he will gladly do it. To be a peacemaker does not mean that you simply sit and think about all of these things in theory. No, you must practice them. And the first way that you can practice being a peacemaker is learning not to speak. If only we could control our tongues, there would be so much less fighting and discord among men. And the Apostle James speaks about this when he says to us, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Instead of trying to put out there your own ideas, that's what we do when we speak. Listen. Listen and receive the word of God. Get rid of the mountain of evil that keeps spewing out of your heart and mouth, and listen and receive the righteousness of God. James says in chapter 3 that we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And we put a rudder on a ship, and a tiny little rudder can control the ship. Even so, our tongues are a tiny little member of the body that do great and powerful things. They are a tiny little member that defiles our whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. If we could control our tongues so that we don't speak both blessing and cursing out of the same mouth and from the same heart, so that we don't spew forth pure water and polluted water from the same spring, so that we don't produce thistles and also grapes from the same vine, there would be peace. So the first thing that we need to do is to control our tongues. For example, when someone says something to you and your first temptation is to reply back in kind, do not do it. Do not repeat things when you know that they will produce harm. You're not a true friend when you tell him something unkind that was said about him by someone else. And you're even less of a friend when you tell someone else something evil that was said about a friend of yours. There are many things that are unworthy and unkind that are not worth repeating. And when we speak about them, we are only furthering the discord and strife among men. We must control our tongues and our lips. And so the peacemaker is the person who often does not say things. He holds his tongue. So many people cannot do that. They must express their mind. They must vent their frustrations. They must spew out their heart. But God is recreating us after His own image, so that like Jesus Christ, we can be as sheep brought to the slaughter who do not open our mouths. And as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so we keep our mouths shut. The next thing that we must do to make peace is that we should always view any and every situation in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you face a situation that tends to lead to trouble, not only must you not speak, but you must think. And you must think about that situation in the light of God's holy word and in the light of the gospel, because it is the gospel that can bring peace among men. What about the Church of Jesus Christ? What about the honor of the triune God? What about the glory of our Savior? What about the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit? How does that fit into this situation? And the moment you begin to think like that, you can begin to make peace. As long as you're thinking about things from your own perspective, from how they affect you, you will further the war. Thirdly, you must go out of your way to look for means and methods of making peace. The Bible says that if your enemy is hungry, you should feed him. That's a way of making peace. Here's your enemy who's been fighting against you, pulling out all the weapons at his disposal to harm you. Maybe he's been saying terrible things about you and slandering, tearing down your good name and your reputation. And you have not answered him. You have held your tongue. And you can see that the devil is using that person as an instrument of destruction, as an instrument of war, as an instrument of discord, as an instrument to tear down and to scatter. And you have pity upon that person. And you pray that God will deliver him. You pray that God will open the eyes of his understanding, that he may see the deception of Satan that blinds him to the truth. That's the second step. But you have to go further than that. You have to seek ways of helping him. You have to seek ways of relieving and redirecting him. You have to seek ways to humble yourself and find some way to do him good. Perhaps speaking peace to him. Perhaps confessing your own sin to him. Perhaps just being a friend. Just being one who shows love to one who is at war with himself and with the world. Perhaps doing something kind and gracious to those who have done you wrong. We should also, as peacemakers, as sons of God, endeavor to bring peace wherever we go, wherever we are. We do it by being selfless. We do it by being lovable. We do it by being approachable. We do it by not being puffed up in our own dignity and honor. If we are not thinking of ourselves, if we are truly humble as Jesus Christ himself was humble, who made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, even though he was and is and continues to be forever eternal God. then people will say, I can approach that person. I know that I will find sympathy and understanding. I know I will find the truth of God coming forth from the heart and mind of that person. And so those who are bitter in heart, those who are at war with themselves, those who are upset with others, those who are angry with God, will come to hear the words of peace, to find rest for their souls, to find the words of life, the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, that though it stings, it brings us out of the misery of sin. It brings us out of the turmoil of sin, the misery of war, into the peace and rest and consolation that God alone can give to sinners. The Christian is a man who brings the gospel of Christ, who brings the peace of God to the righteousness of Christ to those who are at war. And our Savior Jesus Christ says that those who make peace, those who are peacemakers, are blessed. They're happy. They receive the favor and goodness of God. For they shall be called sons of God. God owns them as His own children. God takes those who make peace and says, they're mine. The peacemaker is a child of God who is like his Father. You reflect the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all of their harmony and unity when you are a peacemaker in a biblical sense. One of the most glorious definitions of the being and the character of Almighty God given us in Holy Scripture is contained in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans concerning this God of peace. And Paul writes in the book of Ephesians that God is our peace. God is love. God is the way, the truth, and the life. God is peace. He is a God of peace. Although God is holy and just and righteous, although God is perfect in all of His attributes, He came to this earth as the God of peace to bring peace among men. War and strife and fighting came from sin. They came from Satan. They came from the creature's rebellion against the Creator. But God has come in Jesus Christ to make peace. Jesus humbled Himself to produce peace in our hearts and among us. And that is why we who are peacemakers can be called children of God. We repeat what God has done. We multiply the work of God among men. If God had not humbled Himself and had pity and mercy upon sinners, none of us would be saved. Indeed, all of us would be condemned forever to hell. But God has provided a way of salvation for sinners. And to be a peacemaker is to be like God. It is to be a son of God, is to be like Jesus, the Son of God, who came and made peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And we are to be sons of that Prince. How has Jesus made peace? Well, Paul says in Colossians that He made peace through the blood of His cross. He made peace by giving His own blood, by dying, to bear the wrath of God and the punishment that we deserve because of our enmity and hatred against the Lord. By that sacrifice on the cross, He has reconciled us to God. He has given us peace within ourselves. He has given us peace with one another. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For Jesus Christ Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down that middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity," that is the hatred, the strife, "even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of two one new man, so making peace." God has brought people together in Jesus Christ because He has reconciled us to God through the death of His Son. To be a peacemaker is to be like that. It's to break down the partitions, it's to break down the divisions, is to get rid of our own selfish ideas and interests so that we might work together as the sons of God. Not clutching at our rights, not holding on to our prerogatives. Jesus didn't do that. He humbled Himself. He came in the likeness of sinful man, and He humbled Himself even to die on the cross because He was thinking of us. He wasn't thinking of Himself. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind, let this perspective, let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Don't look on your own things. Look on the things of others. That's what the Bible says. You need to finish with self and begin to follow Christ. You need to realize what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you in order that you might enjoy that blessed peace with the living God. In order that you might enjoy peace in yourself, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards your hearts and minds. You need to begin to desire to bring that peace to everyone. And so, forgetting yourself and humbling yourself, you need to follow in the steps of the Savior Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, you know what revile means? It means to speak with contempt about somebody, who, when He was reviled, did not revile again. When He suffered, He did not threaten. But He committed Himself to God who judges righteously. That's the key. If you can do that, you can live at peace and you can be a peacemaker. And that's how the Apostle Paul can say, "As much as lies in you, live at peace with all men." Go in peace. And may the God of peace make you a peacemaker and a child of Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the peace that You have given us through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank You, Father, for the blessing of fellowship with You. And we pray, Lord, that You would teach us how to be peacemakers. How to be followers of Christ. How to die to ourselves. How to get rid of those selfish thoughts and motives and ideas that govern our lives, and to see how we can serve others. How we can promote Your glory in every situation. How we can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are in need, whether it be our brother or whether it be an unbeliever. Whether it be a difficult battle where there is war and strife, show us, Father, how to bring Your peace to others that they may be blessed, that they may be brought to the Savior and have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Guard our hearts and minds with that peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.